If you've only recently started listening to this podcast, let me catch you up. After the death of Julius Caesar, he was the last dictator of the Roman Republic. One man fought and won the right to become Rome's first emperor. That man, Augustus Caesar, set up a military autocracy in which he and he alone would be supreme leader. And then Caesar Augustus wrapped that autocracy in the tattered remains of Rome's shredded republican constitution. Emperors then came and they went, many of them claiming to secure and uphold the republican system. In reality, the new autocratic system became permanent. And as we learned on the last episode, the year AD 81 would mark the beginning of a new and infamous regime, that of the hated emperor Domitian. Ancient writers universally condemn Domitian as one, if not the worst Roman emperor of all time. But was Domitian Rome's worst emperor? Let's talk about it on this episode of the Pax Romana podcast. Episode 27, Rome's Worst Emperor. Before we begin, this is just a reminder that I'll be speaking for the Smithsonian Associates on January 30th, 2024, if you're listening to it this year. You're welcome to search Colin Elliott Smithsonian Associates, and you can find a link to the talk and information about how to attend. It's going to be a virtual event, so anybody, anywhere can go ahead and do that. I'll also be on a few podcasts coming up, but I'll give you more information about those in the future. But for now, just continue to watch this space. All right, that's all I had to say. Let's go ahead and get started. Domitian was never supposed to be emperor. But in AD 79, his father, Vespasian, died of old age, leaving the empire to his eldest son, Titus. And then poor Titus, before he could get married and designate an heir of his own, also died. Titus's death was unexpected, just 2 years into his reign. At that point, the last male in the family left standing was Domitian. Now, Domitian has a reputation of being one of the most paranoid and cruelest emperors in Roman history. A story circulates that he spent much of his time alone for fear of letting anyone physically close to him. Domitian was worried about being assassinated. There was a saying about Domitian recorded by the biographer Suetonius, quote, "At the beginning of his reign, Domitian used to spend hours in seclusion every day, doing nothing but catching flies and stabbing them with a keenly sharpened stylus. Consequently, when someone once asked whether anyone was in there with him, one of the senators made the witty reply, 'Not even a fly.'" That's Suetonius's biography of Domitian. Even ancient Romans understood that harming animals, including evidently small insects, was often a sign of a cruel disposition. In the present, we see that as a possible indicator of psychopathy. And while I wouldn't try to psychoanalyze Domitian, I can definitely say that cruelty to animals was just the tip of the iceberg. As emperor, Domitian would have had the power to issue commands to Romans, and even to execute those citizens that ran afoul of the law. The new emperor wanted moral authority as well, and eventually, even godhood. But first things first. Early in his reign, Domitian dusted off the old republican office of censor. Now, this might look like a return to the republic, but as you'll see, it was anything but. Back in the days of the Roman Republic, censors held the power to count the population. They performed property assessments and valuations, and most importantly for Domitian's purposes, they examined the morality of senators and could remove any who were found wanting from the Senate. So Domitian, out of the blue, claimed this ancient censorial power, and he began to use it quite liberally. But unlike the censors of the past, Domitian not only removed senators from the Senate for immorality, he went ahead and had them executed too. Their supposed crimes were varied. Domitian executed several senators for adultery. And now the irony, of course, was that Domitian was himself a serial adulterer. Another senator, one which evidently bore a passing resemblance to Domitian, was accidentally referred to as Imperator by a person who mistaked him for Domitian. Now, Domitian heard of what happened. And because the senator was technically hailed as emperor, even if by mistake, Domitian decided to have the man killed. There were plenty of other murders, too numerous to count, in fact, and most of these were for really the most superficial reasons. So there were people that were killed for joking about the emperor, for celebrating the birthday of one of the previous emperors. His name is Otho. We talked about him in episode 23. There was another senator that was killed for naming his weapon after himself, and both a sitting consul and his wife were murdered on charges of atheism because they converted to Judaism. And as you might recall from the last few episodes, Vespasian and his sons were no fans of the Jewish people. But Domitian's murders, again, many of which were in the name of enforcing morality, were not limited merely to senators and politicians. A famous Egyptian actor, his name was Paris, he managed to woo many of Rome's leading women into sexual relationships. Now, among these women was Domitian's wife. And when the emperor heard of the adultery, he divorced his wife and went and had the actor Paris murdered. Now, to a certain extent, we can understand Domitian's actions. If anything could ignite a husband's fury, it would be adultery. But Domitian didn't stop with his wife's lover. The emperor then killed a second actor, simply because he kind of looked like Paris. And then he started murdering the people who mourned for Paris, people that took flowers to the site where he was killed, for example. It goes without saying that Domitian rarely consulted the Senate. In fact, he feared them greatly, that senators were plotting against him. Gee, why would they do that? Domitian was so eccentric and paranoid that he lined his palace with highly reflective marbles, polished to a mirror-like finish, so that he could constantly see who was around him and what they were doing. And because of his seclusion, Domitian used a network of informants to gather secrets about elite Romans, and he then used that information to justify murdering them. We have a telling letter that was written from the younger Pliny, and it describes the culture of fear that gripped Rome under the reign of Domitian. In this letter, Pliny describes a visit to a sick and dying friend. When Pliny arrived at his friend's bedchamber, we're told the following, quote, "My friend's attendants withdrew from his chamber, as they always did whenever one of his more intimate friends entered the room. Even his wife, a lady who might have been trusted to keep any secret, also would retire. Looking around the room, he said, 'Why do you think I endure pain like this so long? It is that I may outlive the tyrant, even if only by a single day.'" That's Pliny in his letters. What do we learn here? Pliny's friend did not trust his servants. He didn't even trust his own wife. Under such a regime of terror and surveillance, where people were being executed for the most innocuous offenses, trust was a rare commodity. The fact was, it was a time when mere words could get you killed. But also, by sending his wife out of the room, Pliny's friend was protecting the woman he loved. If she didn't hear anything, then she couldn't say anything, and maybe she might avoid the capricious so-called justice of Domitian. Also in this letter, we see just how hated Domitian was. Pliny's friend was enduring great suffering and pain in his entire body. He was deadly ill. And under such conditions, it was not unusual for someone so sick to just commit suicide. It would have been totally normal. But this man wanted to endure the pain and suffering so that he might outlive the emperor he called a tyrant. So as you might imagine, Domitian was obviously deeply unpopular with senators and elites. To them, he truly was the worst emperor of the Pax Romana. But Domitian's claims to ruthless morality and his willingness to take decisive and even deadly action against members of the upper class made him popular with the masses and also the soldiers. But what also made Domitian popular was his lavish spending and his building programs, all of which he paid for by taxing the inheritances of the wealthy. Domitian brought sensational games and festivals to the capital city, and he permanently raised the salaries of all the soldiers. He built a stadium, a concert hall, a massive personal palace in Rome, and he restored the Pantheon. And that building still stands in Rome today. It's got a beautiful dome, if you ever wish to see it. The reason it needed to be restored is because of the fire of AD 80, which occurred under his brother Titus. Some of the monumental architecture of the regime were quite personal to Domitian. So around AD 90, the emperor was honored with a large statue of himself riding a horse. We call that an equestrian statue. And this grand and exquisite monument was set up in the very center of Rome's Forum. The statue doesn't survive, but we have images of it that show up on coins. Evidently, the statue showed Domitian raising his hand in a gesture of clemency or mercy. Obviously, a sensational lie based on what we know of Domitian's unhinged killing sprees. We also have pieces of a large, colossal statue of Domitian as well. Domitian truly believed that he was larger than life, that he was a god, in fact, and he demanded to be called Dominus et Deus, and that is Lord and God. You might have noticed that I refer to these statues as either not surviving or only surviving in broken pieces. Well, that's because of what happened late in the reign of Domitian. As the murders stacked up, senators and others began conspiring. An assassination really seemed the only way to rid Rome of such a tyrant. Domitian was not very old either. He was going to live a long time unless somebody did something. Now, many of the plots against Domitian were foiled. There was even an attempt to gather an outside army in the provinces and march on Rome to depose the emperor in that way. This was led by the governor of Germany, who proclaimed himself emperor and marched on Rome with two of his legions. Unfortunately, no other governor joined that usurpation. I'm sure that all of them were too afraid to commit open rebellion against such a ruthless tyrant. And so Domitian was able to defeat the rebellion and murder its leaders. The fact was, Domitian lived a secluded life in his palace. He was popular with the people and the legions, and was therefore, for all these reasons, incredibly difficult to kill. A successful plot would need a combination of skill and secrecy and, frankly, luck. Well, one day in AD 96, one of Domitian's former slaves asked for an audience with the emperor. Domitian usually refused such requests, but the freedman insisted that he carried evidence of a plot against Domitian. Well, that's exactly the kind of news that Domitian wanted to hear quite badly, and so the emperor let the freedman in. As he walked into the palace, the former slave had a bandaged arm. A story had circulated that he had been wounded several days prior. But as the man came close to the emperor to hand him a letter, supposedly some evidence of a conspiracy, he reached into the bandage and pulled out a dagger. The rap had been a ruse, and Domitian only realized it too late. The man stabbed Domitian in the groin, and once the emperor was wounded, it was a signal for other freedmen and servants in the palace to burst into the room, chase down the emperor, and finish the job. And they did. Domitian was dead. And despite the fact that it came down to former slaves and servants after he died, virtually everyone claimed that they were actually part of the conspiracy, including even Domitian's wife. Well, because Domitian was so hated, the reaction to his death, at least among senators, was instantaneous and severe. This was what the biographer Suetonius, who was just a young man at the time, claims happened after Domitian died. Quote, "The senators were so overjoyed that they raced to fill the Senate House, where they did not refrain from assailing the dead emperor with the most insulting and stinging kind of outcries. They even had ladders brought, and his shields and his images torn down before their eyes and dashed upon the ground. Finally, they passed a decree that his inscriptions should everywhere be erased and all records of him obliterated. That's Suetonius's biography of Domitian. And so that is why so few statues and inscriptions of Domitian survive to this day. His very memory was damned. But as we'll see next time, murdering Domitian just meant the friends and allies of the former emperor would want their vengeance. And while the next emperor was a friend of the Senate, the last word on his reign would be had by that group that was now the most important force in Roman politics. And they would demand an emperor to represent their interests. Now that group, of course, was Rome's soldiers.
Thanks for listening to the Pax Romana podcast. For more information, including a list of primary sources and further reading, check the show notes. Music by Red Productions and Exacore. Follow Dr. Colin Elliott on X at ProfCPE or email colin@paxromanapodcast.com. Listen to more episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or just about anywhere podcasts are available. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Pax Romana podcast.